The Dead Cat Problem by Neural Splice. Story copyright 2010 by Michael L. Cope. Audiobook copyright 2025. All rights reserved. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used in any other way without prior written permission from the copyright holder. For inquiries, use the contact information at neuralsplice.com. NEURALSPLYCE.com. Why is there a dead cat on my coffee table? Falling asleep on the couch is not unusual. Waking up to a dead cat is a fresh surprise. I rub the sleep from my blurry eyes. The corpse is still there. The strangest thing is, it's not mine. I've never owned a cat. I don't recall ever seeing or hearing one in my apartment complex. Someone must have broken in, placed the cat, and snuck out. Which begs the question, why would someone break into my apartment to leave me a cat corpse? I make a physical inspection of the door and two windows. They appear to be fine. It's not like I know how to tell if they were picked or jimmied, or whatever the proper term is. Having checked them, I feel safer for no logical reason. Truth be told, I only lock the doors half the time anyway. My apartment complex is ideally located in the city, and the apartments are well maintained. Occupancy turnover is low, giving the place a small-town feel. Everyone knows everyone else, if only by association. A few tenants even grew up in the complex, married, and are raising kids of their own. Kids, of course. No. Wait. None of the kids I know would pull such a disturbing prank. What's perplexing me now is, what do I do with it? I'm fairly certain I can't put it in the trash. Cats are way too big to flush down the toilet like a fish. As an apartment dweller, I don't have a yard or tools to bury it. A brief search of the phone book shows three veterinarians close by. There's one catch. How do I transport it there? Your average city dweller doesn't ride on the subway carrying a dead cat in a bag. The few who do are quickly taken to a psychiatric hospital. Surely there's someone in this apartment complex who knows what to do. I think a maintenance man inspects the building once or twice a week. I bet if I left it in a dark corner somewhere, he will find it and dispose of it properly. Time's running out to catch the bus to work. I will have to wait until I return from work to get rid of it. I rummage around for something to cover the cat so I won't have to look at it. The thing has been dead for a day, maybe two. Rigor mortis has set and then passed, leaving it in an unnatural position with shriveled eyes and tongue sticking out. The hair is clumpy and standing up. I grab a dish towel and then reconsider. No matter how many times I wash it, I will never want to dry a dish with a towel that touched a dead cat. When I run out of candidates, I settle on the bachelor cure-all for every mess. I tear off a dozen paper towel sheets and drape them over the body like a tent. Then I spray some deodorizer on the towels and in the air to ward off any smells of decomposition. Work is the typical grind, but serves to distract me from thinking of the dead cat at home. The workday ends, so I grabbed a sandwich on the way home. No way do I want to cook with the cat in the kitchen. After eating, I busy myself until bedtime. I set my alarm clock for 3 a.m. My logic being most people are asleep by 2 a.m. and early risers don't wake until 4 a.m. The alarm clock goes off way too soon, but I rouse myself out of bed. Fancying myself to be on a secret ninja-type mission, I foolishly dress all in black. I even wear my running shoes for silent movement. Of course, after I step out my front door, I realize all the hallways are well lit. If someone spots me, I'll appear more suspicious dressed like a cat burglar than if I were wearing a loud floral shirt. Actually, I wish I had a loud floral shirt and a half-empty liquor bottle. Who thinks twice about a man in a gaudy shirt returning from a night of heavy drinking, bottle in one hand and a dead cat in the other? I set out quietly down the hallway to find a dark corner. The quiet of the early morning is unsettling. Each footfall crunches on the carpet and reverberates down the hallways. I make one full pass around my floor and don't find any place suitable. Then I recall the laundry room has a broken washing machine. That's the perfect place for a maintenance worker to find the body. I backtrack down a hallway lit by a dying compact fluorescent light. The high-frequency flickering is mesmerizing. I jump from the sound of a closing door. In a panic, I race around the corner and make a beeline for the laundry room. Thankfully, it is empty at this early hour, although there are two dryers in operation. After a furtive glance down the hallway, I tuck the kitty cadaver behind the broken washing machine. Satisfied I have done my duty, I hurry back to my apartment and wash off the cold sweat. Conscience is a funny thing. For most of the day, it leaves you alone. Only after you're tucked into bed does it begin whispering accusations. Have I done the right thing? I toss and turn, trying to put all thoughts out of my head. Of course I did the right thing. It will be dawn soon in time to go to work. Sleep is more important, I reassure myself. Just as I nod off, a thought strikes like an unexpected kick to the head. The laundry room is warm and damp. Dead things decay faster in warm, damp places. What if the cat isn't found soon and starts rotting? Will the smell get into people's clothes? If so, there will certainly be a committee of concerned citizens formed to sniff out the culprit. Arg! I need to find a better hiding place. I dress again and shuffle off to the laundry room. I lean over to extract the corpse from behind the broken washing machine. Buzz! The angry loud timers from both running clothes dryers go off, nearly giving me a heart attack. Blame it on the hour and the circumstances, but a bizarre thought comes to mind. If I am found dead in this spot, tomorrow's headline will read, "Killer Clothes Washer Kills Man and Cat." My heart still racing. I grab the cat and continue my desperate search to find a better hiding place. Figuring most people with something to hide would go downstairs rather than up, I use reverse psychology and climb up 3 floors. I open the stairwell door and scan left and right. The coast is clear. Without a clear destination in mind, I turn left and begin walking. Not finding a broom closet or other maintenance-looking room, I take a right at the end of the hallway. This hallway also has nowhere suitable to hide a cat corpse. So I take another right and pray I find some place soon. The further I walk without finding a hiding spot, the more sweat beads on my forehead and runs down my back and chest. The cat feels heavier and I am running out of hallway yet again. Then I pass a door and notice out of my peripheral vision, it's slightly ajar. Time painfully crawls by while I stand at the threshold. I listen for the sounds of someone moving about. Satisfied the occupant is gone or asleep, I slowly open the door. When the gap is just large enough for me to squeeze through, I sneak in. The kitchenette is barely lit by a nightlight. A soft lamp glows inside the living room area. In the center of the living room sits an old wooden coffee table. One edge holds a stack of unopened mail, but the center is clear. I gingerly lay the cat down on the marred and scratched surface. Should I leave it lying on the paper towels? No, that won't look natural. Even the most gullible person will never believe a cat laid down paper towels before climbing on a coffee table to die. Quietly opening cupboard doors, I search the kitchenette for a trash can. Hinges squeal as the front door swings open. A brunette about my age is backing through the doorway in a half crouch. She's struggling to squeeze a large, overflowing basket of clean laundry through the entrance. The smell of fabric softener precedes her into the room. I back towards the living room, praying to find something to hide behind in hopes I'm not seen and can sneak out. The brunette turns around, spots me, and lets out a small yelp. Her laundry basket plummets, and carefully folded clothes tumble onto the floor. She assumes a martial arts pose and does this menacing chop-the-air thing you see in cheap kung fu movies. With a scowl, she demands,
"Who are you? What are you doing in?"
She looks past me to focus on the cat. Her attitude instantly changes from indignation to puzzlement. Her karate stance relaxes.
How did you know I left the cat in your apartment?
I didn't. I was trying to find a place to leave it and your door was open. I place my hands on my hips and take a self-righteous tone. Wait a minute, who are you and why did you put it in my apartment in the first place? She gives me one of those half smiles that says, "I'm sorry. Don't take it personally." Her smile completely takes the wind out of my sails. Then she crouches down to hastily scoop up her unmentionables.
I'm always leaving my door open. Like just now. I think it wandered in a couple of days ago and died on my floor. I couldn't think of a way to dispose of it. I mean, what do I know about getting rid of dead animals?
Her eyes briefly meet mine in a conspiratorial gaze.
So I went around looking for a place to leave it for someone else to dispose of. I dry my clothes on your floor because my floor has working washing machines, but broken clothes dryers. Your floor has dryers and broken washing machines.
I nod in agreement but say nothing more.
Anyway, I wasn't about to leave it on my floor. So I decided to leave it in your laundry room. I was on my way there when I noticed your door was unlocked and you were asleep on the couch. You looked like a guy that knows how to handle these kinds of things. So, I put it on your table, turned off the TV, and locked the door on my way out.
Well, I don't. I fire back. We stare at each other, puzzling over our next move. She continues to place her clothes in the laundry basket, while I mentally debate whether or not to help. I break the silence by explaining all the ways I had thought of to get rid of the cat. Then I explain the unsolved problems for each solution while she nods in agreement.
Your solutions suffer from the same problem as mine. No matter how you dispose of the cat, you look suspicious doing it by yourself. Therefore, I propose we get rid of it together.
So if anyone sees us, we'll just resemble an ordinary couple with a dead pet, I reply, acknowledging the logic in her proposition. Any idea where we would take a dead pet to dispose of it? She thinks for a moment. We could leave it at the trash collection center on the first floor. Surely trash men must know where to take a dead animal. I glance at my watch. It's 3:41 a.m. People will be waking up soon, so we should do it quick. Without a word, the brunette grabs her keys and walks toward the door. She stops and looks back at me, gestures with her eyes to the cat on her coffee table, and stares at me. Feeling sheepish, I uncrumple the paper towels in my hand, wrap them around the corpse, and follow her out the door. She closes and locks her door and nudges me towards the stairwell. We make our way to the first floor in silence. I'm wishing I had put on some deodorant or cologne when I realize how closely she's following me. When we reach the first floor, she moves to open the door. In the process, she brushes against me and doesn't offer an apology. I whisper a thank you and move in the direction of the trash collection center. Just as we turn the corner, we see an old bag lady. She is manhandling a beat-up grocery cart overflowing with all her worldly possessions. The cart squeaks to a stop and she rummages through the trash bags, pulling out cans and bottles. After a minute of sifting through an open bag, she finally notices us and turns around. Her eyes fix immediately on the dead cat.
Mr. Booties, there you are, you bad old cat. I thought you had run away from your mama.
The old woman hobbles over and takes the cat from me. Tenderly, she places the cat in the child seat. Without another word, she pushes the grocery cart out the back door and into the dark morning. We're rooted in place, perplexed and bewildered beyond words. The brunette nods her head and hrumps.
She'll know what to do with it.
She looks over at me expectantly, trying to find encouragement. I suppose you're right. I look deep into her amazing chestnut brown eyes. When I realize I am staring, I blurt out, "Well, good night then." The brunette walks away, stops, and turns her head in my direction.
By the way, I'm Alice. My door is always open if you want to have a drink. Or dinner?
Her cheeks blush as she gives me a nervous smile. The only words which come to mind are, "Only as long as I don't have to bring a dead cat," which I immediately regret. With a quick laugh, she dashes up the steps. I wander off happily towards my apartment, smiling like the Cheshire Cat.
Time is precious and limited. I hope you found this story worthy of your time. For more ebooks and audiobooks by Neural Splice, visit www.neuralsplice.com.